Amen. Amen. I want to thank our musicians. God bless you all for being faithful and playing. Just a side note, when we were singing Glory to His Name, key was a little too high for me. There's doing background, it was kind of hurting my voice a little bit. Yeah, that'd bring it down a little bit. Yeah, bring it a little bit down a little further. I want to be comfortable when I'm singing. I ain't say I was singing now. I said I do background. Y'all play too much. I said I do background. But I'm just letting you know that key, that was too high. I don't know about you all, but it was a little too high for me. Had to take a couple of sips of tea over there. Amen. Thank God for this day. Amen. We survived the storm that came through very quickly. Amen. When I pulled up, well, before I left work, everything seemed okay. My mind was on cutting grass. When I pulled up, saw it getting kind of dark. And I said, I guess the grass could wait. And next thing you know, it got really dark and wind started blowing. And thank God we survived the storm. Amen. Thank God that all is well. Amen. Amen. It is a blessing to stand before you and preach God's word. Thank each and every one of you for the anniversary, the church anniversary. I thank God for you. 12 years. I'm going to tell you, I never would have thought that I would, first of all, be pastoring, let alone be a preacher. But most of all, I thank God that I am saved. Amen. Amen. All that other I didn't know, but I thank God that I am saved. Amen. I believe the children are having class today, so they may be dismissed. Amen. Follow your teacher. All classes are combined, so Jeremiah and Sabrina. See, sometimes my son, he uses this, I just want to hang out with Dad. He uses it when it's convenient for him. You know, he'll say, I want to hang out with Dad. I just want to be with you, Dad. That's great, but he needs to go to class, man. He uses it when it's convenient for him. Ladies first, Sabrina. But it's not convenient, amen. But thank God, thank God. We got teachers in the house that can teach our young ones. Amen. Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3. Amen. We have a word from heaven this morning. Amen. Are you ready to hear from heaven? Amen. God has a word for his people. Message straight from heaven. 2 Timothy chapter 3, I'm just going to read a few verses. When you have it, can you acknowledge by saying amen? I'm reading from the King James Version, so if you're reading from a different translation, slightly different. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away. Amen. For the reading of God's word, for the sake of the ushers, you may be seated. Amen. Thank the ushers for being on duty. Amen. What I want to discuss with you this morning is that we are living in a time when the world is filled with fear and turmoil. Financial institutions and systems are failing. Governments are unsure of what to do. We are witnessing political disorder, amen, around the world. Natural disasters are increasing at an alarming rate. Crime rates and inhumane acts are on the rise. We are living in a time that is spoken of by Jesus Christ long ago. Amen. Luke 21, it says, men's heart failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the power of heaven shall be shaken. Amen. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. Amen. But you need to understand something. Have you heard this before? It's going to get worse before it gets better. Amen. According to the word of God, it will get worse before it gets better. We frequently hear this and see this pattern in the scripture and the life of promise. Listen to what I'm saying. Pain, finally fulfillment, and victory. Why is that? Why is it that it's like that? Why not just skip over the pain part? And why not just go to good to better without the words in between? See, we need to understand, just before God takes you to the next level in your life, things get worse before they get better. Abraham received the promise of descendants and as numerous as the stars, then went through years of childless. Tried to take things into his own hands with Hagar, and finally, at the right age, at 100, Isaac, the son of promise, was born to Sarah. Amen. Joseph dreamed he would be a ruler, but then was sold into slavery by his own brothers, imprisoned on the basis of false charges, and left there for years before finally being elevated to the position and second in command in Egypt. It got worse for Joseph before it got better. Amen. God promised the land of Canaan to Abraham's descendants. But first, the people of Israel had to endure 400 years of slavery and 40 more years of wilderness wandering before entering what? The promised land. Before Gideon's victory, God sent home all his help. It gets worse before it gets better. Jesus Christ was first rejected by the majority of the Jews, betrayed and crucified, and lay dead in the tomb for 3 days before finally rising victoriously. So before the resurrection, there had to be what? A crucifixion. So what I'm trying to get you to understand is, don't worry. Sometimes it gets worse before it gets better, but it will get better. So I'm trying to tell you this morning to hang in there. Amen? It's getting worse. Am I right? It's prophesied that this is the way it's going to be. But guess what? It's going to get better. It's going to get better. See, God matures us through trials. Listen to this. Listen to this. An infant will cry to be fed, and then may cry harder if their parent leaves the room to grab a bottle of milk. But when a child has matured, they realize that the departure of the parent is an abandonment, but only preparation for addressing the need. Amen? So likewise, in our walk with God, we must grow up beyond infancy and realize God never abandons his children. We may not understand what he is doing, but we need to trust that if he appears absent, it's not because he has forsaken us, but rather because he is working things out for our greater good and his glory. Amen? Amen. So we can shout on that. Amen. Because God is working it out for our good. Amen. So we are living in a time spoken of by Jesus Christ long ago. That's power. Amen. That's foreknowledge. That's being aware of the situation that's at hand. So if you look at 2 Timothy, when it talks about the third chapter in verses 1 through 5, but know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. The word perilous means very dangerous, full of risk, hazardous, harmful, dreadful, threatening to be avoided. It is the conduct of the people that will create this perilous times. Aren't the people creating this? For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boisterous, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasures rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, and from such people turn away from God. So in other words, it's saying be on the lookout. Have your guard up. Pay attention to what is going on around you. We are living in the last days. I'm sure you heard this before, and you heard it, and you heard it. Some of you may be tired of hearing, but one day you're going to die, and guess what? You're going to wake up dead. Y'all understand that? That's that two-time talking. You're going to wake up dead. What I mean is that you may not be on this side anymore, but you're going to be on the other side doing something. Amen? So if I can't get you to believe that we are living in the last days, then let me put it to you this way. These are the last days for you and me. We are closer to the morgue than we are the maternity ward. I can guarantee you that. Amen? Here are some of the signs of we're coming to the end. Lack of answers. Nobody has the answers. Republicans don't have the answers. The Democrats don't have the answers. Independents don't have the answers. You look on the news, they're trying to figure out how to stop this crime. They don't have the answers. I don't know how many times they have gotten rid of the police chief in St. Louis, and they still can't stop the crime. The Apostle Paul describes these signs as perilous times. No one has any answers to the problems in the Middle East. No one has any answers to the problems in our economy. No one has answers to our problems in education. They don't know whether to arm the teachers or to disarm the teachers. They don't know. Nobody has the answers. You understand what I'm saying? We're living in a time where people don't have answers. Lawless society. Abortion, same sex, and the separation of church and state are just some of the signs we see today of a lawless society. A lawless society is a depressing place to live because it's a place completely without a law. Lukewarm churches. We have churches that sound like concerts today. We have churches that are more into their sound systems and the revolving lights that any bar or club in town would have, and the pastor getting up, taking in a controversial style, telling the people that this is okay now. Amen. Telling the people how to get rich. Amen. And serving Christ. Most churches today are lukewarm. Many times people think it is a mark of sophistication to not have any real passion about their faith in Christ. Tolerance and so-called open-mindedness are the watchwords of the day. People can be passionate about many other things, such as automobiles, houses, clothes, political views, and movies, but they are not passionate about Jesus Christ and his kingdom. But we passionate about everything else. But when it comes to Jesus Christ, who has died for you and me, we move and have our being because of him. But you can't be passionate about him. Who woke you up this morning? It wasn't your alarm clock. If he had not touched you, you wouldn't be here. How many this morning has heard of the rapture? See, you don't hear the word rapture preached in churches anymore. That's kind of like swept under the rug. We don't hear about rapture anymore in the church, you know. But let me get you to understand. Rapture just means caught up. Amen? I believe I gave this scripture, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, 16. It says, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord." The Bible says it. I believe it. That settles it. I'm done with it. Whether the preachers want to preach about it or not, whether they want to acknowledge it or not, it is in God's word, and I believe it's going to happen, and I'm going to be there when it happens. So you don't hear about the rapture too many times in these churches. But I want to ask everyone in here, if you are not serious about your walk in Christ, you need to be serious about it right here, right now. Because you have this opportunity, this time in your life right now to make a decision, am I rapture ready? Amen. You can say, "Well, Pastor, I come to church every Sunday." Okay, that's good. But the question is, are you ready? You can say, "Well, Pastor, I give my tithes and my offering." Yeah, but the question is, are you ready? "But Pastor, I pray before I say before I eat. I do all of those things." But are you ready? You say this and you say that's about the church, but are you ready? Jesus is coming back soon, and I hope that you are rapture ready. Amen? I hope that you got your business together with the Lord. You may be able to fool me, but you're not going to be able to fool the Lord. So what are some of the signs, some of the more signs of the coming of the Lord? Well, listen to this. This one got me when I was studying. Increase of knowledge and travel. Now we can say amen to that. Watch this in Daniel chapter 12, verse 4. "But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book even to the time of the end. many shall run to and fro, travel, and knowledge shall, what, be increased. This was done 2,000 some years ago. God ain't playing. The Bible talks about it in Daniel that there would be increase of knowledge and travel in the last days. I don't know if you know this, but we have an increase in knowledge in our generation like no other generation has ever had in history. From the Garden of Eden to the 1900s, men used to use torches and candles as lights. But now we have flashlights, neon lights, bulbs, and laser lights. From the garden to the 1900s, men used smoke signals and Morse code to communicate with one another. But now we have radio, TV, cell phone, satellites, and internet. With a simple app on your phone, you can pretty much get in touch with anyone across the world instantly. FaceTime. Amen. From the Garden of Eden to the 1900s, men used horses, buggies, and animals to travel. But now we have gone from trains to cars to planes to being able to fly from New York to Paris in about 3 hours. Nowadays, we even have the ability to launch to the moon. That is just a taste of how knowledge has increased in our generation. We have had an explosion of knowledge in this generation. The birth of nuclear war. We hear about this all the time, right? We're always hearing about nuclear war, nuclear war, nuclear war. Listen what the Bible says. Zechariah 14:12. And this shall be the plague wherewith the Lord will smite all the people that have fought against Jerusalem. Their flesh shall consume away while they stand up upon their feet, and their eyes shall consume away in their holes, and their tongue shall consume away in their mouth. Now you may, if reading that, you're not understanding that. But this is a perfect illustration of what can happen to someone in a nuclear war. Before invention of the atomic bomb, the hydro bomb, also known as the H-bomb, might have wondered how this could happen. You need to understand something. How can your flesh be consumed while standing on your feet? Eyes consumed away in the holes and your tongue away. We're talking about a nuclear war. Amen? Now, technology. We heard about the mark of the beast. We hear about it all the time, the mark of the beast, mark of the beast. Nowadays, we have the technology for the mark of the beast. When Revelations was written, there were no computers, credit cards, ATM, or even electricity. So far, Revelation to be is so on point. This is God's word. This is only one book. And we don't believe his word. It's right here. Revelations chapter 13, verse 16. And he causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, don't matter, free and bound, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell save he that has the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. So what is the mark of the beast? The mark of the beast is a combination of letters and symbols that will be physically and permanently placed on the foreheads or the right hand. Most people will consider it to be an honor to receive the mark. It would be like a key for them to open doors of acceptance and prosperity and peace with all these tattoos and everything that folks are getting, and everybody's doing all this, you ain't gonna be able to really tell who's the Antichrist, who's the person that's walking with Christ, because everybody has got it, right? Because the society, which you have to understand how the devil, man, he is so clever in how he do things. We don't even make him be creative. Listen to what I'm trying to tell you. Get in God's word so you will know his tricks. Because if you don't, you won't have an idea. He is doing a work right now in society that is getting our minds to really look at things as it is, to say that is right. In other words, what is wrong, he's saying that is right. And what is right is now saying that is wrong. He's programming people's minds to believe. And he's getting you to see it so much that it doesn't bother you anymore. Amen? He's getting you to the point where it doesn't affect you anymore. When I see something that's wrong, I ain't finna fool with that. I ain't finna participate in that. But some of us, well, you know, everybody's doing it now. Well, you know, I think we need to just, you, no. God's word speaks and tells us what we need to do. Can't help it. They crucified Jesus. I guess they crucified me too. Eventually, you will be required by law to get the mark of the beast. And if you can't buy or sell, you won't get anything and you won't live. I'm telling you, this is serious. What is significant is that people are being softened to the ideal of the mark or an implant as means of maintaining security, providing medical information and regularity or more information. Or they talking about computer chips and all of this type of stuff. As attitudes change, fear seems to subside. Well, it's not too bad after all, I guess. And people are convinced of the need for such a mark. The true mark of the beast will be easily introduced to the world by the Antichrist. It's going to be easy. That's why Jesus labeled us as sheep. Y'all ever watch? Just watch sheep. They have no defense. None. They just ate up. That's just it. They're done. They have no fighting sense. That's why Jesus labeled us as sheep. We need a shepherd. Amen? So if anyone worship the beast, this is in Revelation chapter 14. Listen to this. These are some powerful words. God ain't playing. If anyone worship the beast and his image and receive his mark on the forehead or on the hand, he too will drink of the wrath of God's fury, which has been poured full strength into the cup of his wrath. I don't think a loving God will do that. You better watch your mouth. Yes, he will. Yes, he will. He's just. He's going to make sure that the crime fits the punishment. That's the way God operates. He is not a man. He can't be bought. He spoke his word like a king. Once he says it, he's got to carry it out. So just because you don't believe it, don't stop it from happening. You better get your house in order. If you get the mark of the beast, God's complete wrath will be poured upon you. Am I scaring you? Good. Because you need to be saved. Your loved ones need to be saved. Your friends need to be saved. Everybody in your house need to be saved. That's why they said, get your house in order. Now, for those of you who weren't saved, who are not saved, and who's listening on the internet, that's for you. Now, I got good news for you blessed and highly favored people of God who's walking upright, doing what God tell you to do. I got good news for you. We ain't going to be here when all that stuff is going on. We ain't going to be here. That's good news. We going to be caught up. We going to be gone. But you got to be rapture ready. If you're rapture ready, you ain't going to worry about it. You ain't got to worry about all that stuff. You ain't got to worry about taking the mark of the beast. You ain't got to worry about any of those things. Why? Because you're going to be gone. So I'm saying, are you ready for the coming of the Lord? If he come right now, are you ready? Y'all remember, there was a game, you know, my cousins and I, we used to have fun with this, you know, growing up as children, you know, and it was a game that's called, you know, hide and seek. Amen. It's one of the most memorable games that, you know, from my childhood. When you start, you know, someone was chosen to be what? It. A spot was chosen to be base. Whoever was it would stand there and at base, close their eyes and just count. The others would run and they would hide. This is what its job was to do, was to find those before they get returned to base. The game ended when everyone came back to base, or when it, being the person who was seeking you, found someone who was hiding. The part of the game that still echoes in my mind today was it would say before he or she came looking for you, she would say, ready or not, here I come. When it said that, you better be ready or you are going to be in trouble. When I think about the rapture, the old childhood game came to my mind, to my memory. Jesus is telling his people that there will be a day when he will come. The day will arrive whether people are ready or not. Skeptics and scoffers deny this fact, but they can't change the truth of it. Jesus is coming, and he's coming soon. This is not a childhood game, no. This is for eternity. Amen? Eternity is at stake with this one. So you best make it back to base. Amen? You better make it back to base, because ready or not, here he come. There was a warning. There are warnings in the Bible that we should understand and we should take heed to by every person that is in this room this morning. The word of God is challenging for the saints to be ready, and it is called for the lost to get ready. Jesus is coming, and you do not want to be found unprepared for that day. The warnings are there. In the rapture, Jesus will return in the clouds above the earth, and he will call his redeemed people unto him. Every saint of God who has died in the faith in Christ will be with him when he comes. He will raise their bodies from the grave, reunite body and spirit, and take both home to heaven. Every living child of God will be caught up in the air to be with Jesus. This sinful body will become like his glorified body. All the saved people from the resurrection to the rapture will leave this world in the rapture. I'm telling you, I'm ready and looking for that event. So how about you? Unlike the second coming, there will be no signs that will precede the rapture. One minute the people of God will be here, and the next minute they will be gone to heaven. Those who are left behind would have to face the terror of the tribulation. If you are going to be ready for anything, I say to you this morning, be ready for the rapture. If you are going to look for anything, I say to you this morning, look for the rapture. If you're going to have hope in anything, I hope that you are looking for the rapture. Come to Jesus while you have a chance. Understand this. God is coming back after his people. The only one who knows the timing is Jesus Christ. He knows. God knows. God keeps this secret. God keeps this a secret because he does not want people caught up in the end time frenzy. You know how last minute folks are? They only want to get saved or only want to do something at the last moment. God has not revealed it to us because people are just like that. God is saying, get ready right now while the blood is still running warm in your veins. God will not put a commercial on television to let people know the end is near. He will not take out a full-page ad in the newspaper. He will not announce it on the radio. God will not send flyers down from heaven. God is not going to work that way. God is telling you right now from a preacher here at Rhema Worship Center that he is coming back again. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 51, it says, behold, I show you a mystery. How many of y'all like mysteries? We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trump shall sound, and the dead shall raise incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. God has not appointed his church to wrath. That is not for us. The wrath of God is the tribulation period. The Bible tells us that we have tribulation now, but comes from the world of Satan. But God is not going to do that to his people. We need to understand something. Let me say this as I close, because I got more to preach later, but I can't do it all today. You know, I want to, well, as much as I do, but I can't. Amen. But I'm telling you something. You need to understand this. When my son was asleep, listen to this. I want you to picture this. I want you to picture this for a moment. Picture this. My son was asleep in the living room. And I want you to visualize what I'm getting ready to say to you, how it's going to be. My son was asleep in the living room. And I went, and I'm describing something to you. I went and I picked him up. Okay? He fell asleep in the living room. I went, scooped him up. Okay, knocked out, as heavy as he is, took him into another room, laid him on the bed. Amen? Laid him on the bed. He went to sleep in the living room. That's one room. But then he woke up in another room. Amen? See, in other words, let me describe this. He died in the living room. But I took him and I carried him to another room. And I took him to that other room, laid him down, and when he woke up, he was in a different room. This is the way it's going to be for the people of God. God, we're buried here, and we're laid there, we're stretched out in here. But God takes us, picks us up. We died here on earth. But then we were carried. The Bible says that we are ushered into the presence of God when we what? Die. So we were taken to another room. And then when we woke up in another room to be with the Lord. Where where he laid, it wasn't the same as when he woke up. Where we lay here on earth is not the same as when we're going to get up. You better believe me when I tell you there's going to be a great getting up morning. I pray to God that your business is taken care of. I pray to God that you stop playing with church. You get serious with your walk. It's not about me. It's not about the president. It's about Jesus Christ. So I say to you this morning, I pray that you are rapture ready. I pray that you got your house in order. I'm not talking about that address you're getting ready to drive to. I'm talking about this house where God wants to reside, where it's not made by the hands of man, but it's made by the God Almighty. Get your house in order. He's coming back. God is showing us the signs of the time. It's getting worse, but thanks be to God, we got something to look forward to because it's going to get better for us. Every child of God in the Bible that I read, yes, it got worse. Yes, it got bad for them, but I saw the end that they got blessed. Yes, it's going to be a struggle. Yes, it's going to be a fight, but guess what? We're going to be blessed. Amen.